some of these things that he's talked about. One of the things that impressed me very much when I first began to study God's Word was the need for spiritual growth in my own life and to be able to find in God's Word just exactly what spiritual growth is. Now, a lot of people say, well, I want to do what God wants. Now, what does God want? Would you be specific? Well, in 2 Peter, he listed some things that you were supposed to add to your faith. Now, a lot of times people look at something, they say, oh, I've heard that before. I've heard this before. I've heard that before. But these are things that are extremely important. And they're things that in the 23 years I've been here, I've been acutely aware of that I needed to add to my faith. I've been saved, as you know, for 52 years, and hopefully at my next birthday I'll change that to 53. But one fellow said to me one time, Brother McElmurray, I'm sure everybody at the church knows you've been saved for 52 years and you're 64 years old because I'm sure you tell them as much as you tell us. And I said, amen. But God meant for me to add something to that faith, and it's very important because if you don't add it to your faith at the judgment seat of Christ, how on earth are you going to explain it when God has been so very definitive, so specific on what it is? Peter tells us in his second epistle that to our faith we're supposed to add into it a thing called virtue, which means the desire to do right. And that we're supposed to add into that something called knowledge, to understand what it is that we're supposed to do right. And then he tells us we're supposed to add something to that called temperance. How after we know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, we're supposed to begin to try to control our carnal nature by the new nature within us and grow spiritually where we aren't a slave to sin, but where we not only put up a battle, but we put up a good one. And we learn to fight more and more, and we learn to cut down the effect of the carnal man on our soul. And then after this thing called temperance, which is actually control, as we go through all these different stages of testing and trial and patient endurance, we actually begin to learn patience. So after the tribulation, it adds to us a willingness to endure under all types of pressure. And then out of patience, out of that patient endurance, we learn a thing called godliness. Now all this doesn't come in stages, it comes all at once, but each thing has to do with the other. And godliness is euscharistoi, and it means to worship God directly and to worship God in the manner he wants to be worshiped. It's a learned activity. It's something that you learn from God's Word. And then we're supposed to add to godliness what is known as brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness is something that comes out of wanting to worship God correctly because we learn to love his local visible body, which is made up of the people that have been scripturally baptized and are continuing together to do God's service. And then finally, while all this is going on, we're actually learning to love people that aren't lovable. That's agape love. You're supposed to add to your brotherly kindness your agape, your final stage, charitable love, giving none, expecting nothing in return. So I'm going to be talking about these things, and I can't think of a better place to start than where I started 20 years ago. 20 years ago, or thereabouts, I put this particular chart on the screen, made it a very long time ago, and I began to talk about this man in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, that it's popularly taught, here's a man that doesn't even know he's saved and can't even remember when he's saved. Well, that's a nice idea, and it may have been taught that way for a long time, and a lot of people may believe that, but that's not exactly what that means. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things. Now these things are the things that you were supposed to add into your faith, mentioned in the verses prior to 2 Peter 1:9. These things are the things that are like virtue, like knowledge, like temperance, like patience, like godliness, like brotherly kindness, and like love. And he said a person that lacks these things, that hasn't done that, hasn't grown spiritually, is blind. Now the word that's used for blind is a very interesting word. It's myopia. And Norma is a nurse, and she knows that myopia is nearsightedness. And so I can see a bird 20 miles away, but you put him right up here and he's just a blur. I'm farsighted. But there are some people that are nearsighted. They have a lot of trouble with it. Now, myopia means cannot see afar off. They're just the opposite from me. And this kind of blindness, cannot see afar off, is myopia. So this man cannot see afar off. Cannot see what afar off? Spiritual things. He's so interested in the world, he's so interested in his job, or his family, or his profession, or how much money he makes, or where they're going on vacation, or how much money they've accumulated. There are a multiplicity of things in the world that I don't have to tell you what they are, that you're concerned about and mean a lot to you. And those things are just natural things of the world, but this fellow lets all these things completely take his mind off serving Christ. And so a man who hasn't added these things into his faith is a man that's spiritually blind, in that he can see things up close. He can see everything up close. I can't. I don't have myopia. I'm just the opposite. But he can't see things afar off. What are the things afar off? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I, John, behold the heavenly city coming down out of Jerusalem as a bride adorned, prepared for her husband. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his life hath made herself ready. He is so preoccupied with things down here, he doesn't have time to go to church. Church is just something that once in a while, when his conscience pangs him, he might pop in. On the other hand, he might not. He's certainly not a fellow that's consistent in any type of worship toward God of any great length of time. Now, we go on a little bit further, and half forgotten is really interesting. 1 Peter 1:9, but he that liketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, I've heard that quoted for years, and preachers say, why, this man can't even remember he was saved. He doesn't even know he's saved. He doesn't even remember the experience of it. I disagree violently with that. I don't think that's the case at all, because lethe lambano is a very interesting expression. It means to take a forgiveness. It means it's a deliberate action on his part. It means that every time God tries to get him to study the Word, to go to church, to add virtue to his faith, to add love to his faith, to add knowledge to his faith, to add anything to his faith that's pleasing to God, he deliberately takes a forgetfulness of who he is and that he is a child of God and blanks it out of his mind. And don't tell me you can't do that, because you can. For a long time, I couldn't understand people when I'd go to their home, and we've got a lot of them on our church roll. And I'd go to their home, and they'd say, Brother McElmurray, I know I ought to be in church. And I'd say, well, you know, you ought to be increasing in faith, and you ought to be learning some things about God to help you spiritually. I know, Brother McElmurray, I know I should. And everything, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. They say, before you say anything, they say, I know I ought to be in church. But how do they know? It's not that they don't know they're saved. That's lethe lambano. They deliberately have taken a forgetfulness, and they're able to block it out. But when I come into their presence, they can't block it out until they get rid of me. And then the world completely consumes them. And they meant it when they said, I'm coming back to church. They actually meant it. But they really block it out. And don't tell me you can't block something out, because you can. You blot out death very effectively. You blot out death very effectively. If I ask you if one day you're going to die, you'll say yes. But if I say you're going to die tonight, no, no, that's not going to happen. The human mind is capable of blocking things out. Now, this comes from a critical lexicon and concordance to the Greek, the English, and Greek New Testament. There are three different words that are translated as forgetfulness or forget. One of them is epilanthanomai. Epilanthanomai. It means to forget upon. We're going to take a look at that later on. The other God-breathed word is eklanthanomai. That means to forget entirely, forget utterly. But that's not the word that's used in 2 Peter 1:9. Take a look at what he shows here for 2 Peter 1:9. It's two words. It's lethe lambano. It means to take a forgetfulness. This is a deliberate action on the part of the person. There's not a person on this church roll that's not here, wasn't here this morning on our services, that was physically able, that didn't know they needed to be here. Why didn't they come? Every time God's Spirit bothers them, bingo. Lethe lambano. They take a forgetfulness. They don't want to add virtue in. They don't want to add knowledge in. They don't want to add godliness in. They don't want to add any of those seven things that the Lord mentioned. Why? Because they are nearsighted, myopia. They can't see afar off. They can't see the advantage of serving God here for the future blessings in heaven. They can only see what's around them and what's up front. And yet one day those same people are going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and because they deliberately took a forgiveness every time, oh, they're not going to hell. They're going to be people who are going to wish they had it. Now, hath forgotten, this man that hath forgotten, is an active aorist participle before an anaphoros non, noun. It portrays the actions of a man who, each time he is faced with adding these things to his saving faith, deliberately takes an active action to blot out the memory of his responsibility to do so. He loves to keep his eyes focused on the up-close things of this world, and sometimes he would rather climb up into a deer stand. Forgive me, Charlie. He loves to keep his eyes focused on the up-close things of this world, not on the far-sighted things to come. Now, this is the man. And don't tell me that doesn't happen. Think of times in your past when you knew you ought to go to church, but this other thing meant so much to you that you were able to successfully, it bothered you, but you blocked it out somewhere. And after church was over the next day, completely forgot about it. This man deliberately took the action. Now, the reason I'm going through all this, the reason I did it 20 years ago, and this has been a tremendous help to me in my 23 years here at this church. 2 Peter 1:15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, in other words, after I die physically and depart this world, to have these things always in remembrance. And these things refer to what you were supposed to add to your faith back in the earlier part of this chapter. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If this man was about to die, I'm sure he wanted to leave behind the most important thing for the children of God to remember. And those seven things are the most important thing in a child of God's life. And Paul says, I don't want you to do like this fellow. Not Paul, but Peter. I'm sure Peter was about to die. He says so after my decease. And I'm sure that to Peter it was imperative that the people remember these seven things. A child of God after he's saved is going to heaven. So what should be the most important thing in his or her life? Adding these things into their faith. He's about to die. If you knew you were going to die, you'd call all your children together. And whatever was the most important thing in your life, you'd tell them. This was the most important thing that he had to tell children of God, because he knew he was about to leave this world. And he says, I don't want you to be like this man that keeps on taking your forgetfulness. He says, I want you to bring them to mind quite frequently. So with that in mind, let's take a look at these things a little closer. This is old material I made 20 years ago, and I couldn't even find half of it, so I'll just have to do the best I can. There are the words that are used. Lethe lambano is the only one that's used together. That's the only time it's used in that particular fashion. And it means to take a forgetfulness. It means a deliberate action. And I wanted to show you this because I wanted you to see this is not something that I dreamed up so I could preach a good message. I believe this comes from Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament. Give you a different source. Notice what he says for lethe. Now look down further on under noun. When he talks about is used with lambano. In other words, he says when you have lethe lambano, having taken forgetfulness, a deliberate action, having taken it. It is not something where the old boy says, well, I just don't ever remember when I was saved. I don't even remember making a profession of faith. I'm not sure I'm saved. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that every time the Holy Spirit tries to get him to grow spiritually, he deliberately takes a forgetfulness. Now, since these things really are the most important thing in our lives, and this comes from a critical lexicon and concourse to ancient Greek New Testament, the reason I'm spending so much time to show this to you, I want you to understand that this isn't opinion. This is the way it is. Now you notice that first word that is used, epilanthanomai. It means to forget upon. And notice in Hebrews 13 it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Forget not. That's where that word is used. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now he indicates earlier, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. He said, now that's the most important thing. Verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. He said, that's the most important thing. And to praise God and to serve God and to be grateful for the future promises that he has. But then he says, however, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. He said, to forget upon in consequence of something else. He said, the other things are more important, but he said, don't forget to do this. It's that kind of use. It's not like a person doesn't remember. He's just reminding you that don't do one at the expense of the other. Make sure you do both. Then the second word, eklanthanomai, means to forget entirely. This means doesn't remember at all. And this is Kenneth's favorite scripture. Hebrews 12:4, you have not yet resisted unto blood. And verse 5, Hebrews 12:5, and ye have forgotten. He said, you have utterly forgotten. He said, you've completely forgotten this. It's gone out of your mind. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. But then when we get down to the next word, lethelambano, it's a different thing altogether. When it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. The Greek word is myopia or myopaza, which is myopia. Can see things up close, the world around him, but can't see the promises of God that are promised, particularly in the 11th and 12th chapters of Hebrews. And hath forgotten, lethelambano, for hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He just takes a forgetfulness of the need to add into the faith that caused God to purge him from his old sins. And that's what he takes a forgetfulness of. Now, I want you to see how important this is, because this is the groundwork, this is the foundation for all Christian growth. And this is something that I ought to pay close attention to, I ought to remind myself of frequently as your pastor, and it's certainly something that each one of you need to take time to remind yourselves of. 2 Peter 1:15 through 5, we're going to go backwards. We're going to go backwards in this, and we're going to take a look at what he said, because he was about to die, he knew it, and he talked about these things. 2 Peter 1:15. Moreover, I will endeavor. Now, the word endeavor that is used there means to make haste, to do to the utmost, that ye may be able after my decease. The word for decease is exodus. It means his exodus from this life, his death. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my death to have these things. What are these things? The things that are supposed to be added into the faith starting back in verse 5. The actual virtue, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love, agape. Always means on every occasion. Remembrance means a calling up to mind. He says, I want you to call these up to mind all the time, because he says they're important. Well, I've been here 23 years, and I'm responsible until the day I die to remember these things, because they are things that God meant for that saving faith to produce in me. Verse 14, remember, we're going backwards so we can see how important this was to Peter and leads back to these things. Knowing shortly that I must put off this my tabernacle, of course he's talking about his body, the physical body, the material body, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, my body, he says, I'm going to die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me, and the word showed that is used there is to make visible or clear by enlightenment. God had given him spiritual enlightenment. God had given him spiritual awareness that he was about to die and his soul was going to leave that blanket of flesh that covered him like a tent. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet. He said, I think it proper. I think it's right. I think it's expedient. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm physically alive and I can write this, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The God-breathed word for stir up means to wake up fully, to excite. Now, that's what a preacher is supposed to do. Many people do not understand that there is basically no difference between teaching and preaching. I've had many people that say to me, Brother McElmurray, you're more of a teacher than a preacher. And what they really mean is, I don't sling snot and saliva from one side to the other and jump up and down. And they said, Brother McElmurray's a nice fellow, but he's a teacher. He's not really a preacher. All preaching is teaching. But it's exhortive teaching. There's teaching, and then there's exhortive teaching. It's like the old preacher said one time, the old black preacher, years ago. He said, first I tells them. Then I tells them again. Then I retells them. Now that's teaching. Here comes the preaching. Then I puts the arousements on them. And the arousements are to get you to do what was taught. And so I'm supposed to be a teacher, and I'm supposed to exhort you to do what I've taught. That means to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what Peter was doing here. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He said, because God has laid on me before my death to stir you up to remembrance. He said, I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. These things that he's referring to are the very things we've discussed. Add into your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and godly love, agape. Established means to set fast, to fix firmly. And the word that is used for the present truth means right up to the present moment. Now, Charlie, you know you're supposed to add virtue, and you know you're supposed to add knowledge, and you know that you are supposed to add all these things. So you know it. These people knew it. He said, now, I want just to tell you that you need to continually be stirred up to do it. And the way Peter would do it, he said, don't do lethe lambano. Don't just see what's in front of your face and your job and your profession and those things around you. He said, don't just serve God for what you can get here. He said, see afar off and look at the promises of God and look at the heavenly city and look at all those promises. He said, stir yourself up. Kenneth, you've got a job out there that you don't like. But you stir yourself up based on the promises of God. And you endure in what you're doing because you're not short-sighted. If all you thought about was making a lot of money and being an accountant where you could have a great big fancy home and all the things in it, and that's what you wanted down here. You'd push God off to one side. You're saved. You're going to heaven. And every time that it came up that you were going to serve God, you wouldn't allow yourself to look at the future promises. You'd just block all that out, not think about it, and serve for everything you can get down here. But you cannot serve God and mammon. That's talking about saved people. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to be farsighted and serve God, and all these other things will take care of themselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You cannot seek the kingdom of God unless your life is based on a principle of doing whatever has to be done down here to please God spiritually, and then letting the material things be taken care of by God's grace, which blesses you with sufficient material needs, based on the fact that you didn't seek them deliberately, but that you sought his kingdom first and he blessed you and supplied these other things. Now, present means right up to the present moment. Every one of you sitting here, and certainly the speaker here, I know I'm supposed to add those things in. So the question is, are we going to do it? I know you hear the same messages a lot of times. I know you hear the same exhortations. But God said, keep stirring them up, keep reminding them they need it, and you need it. Now, what happens to those people who actually try to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? What's the advantage? Well, if you're nearsighted, there's no advantage. If all you can see is right down here and you can't see the future, that's why that man takes a forgetfulness, lethe lambano. Doesn't mean a thing to it. Here's the reason. For so an entrance, aha, an entrance, into what? A kingdom. What kingdom? A spiritual kingdom. When is it? Future. Afar off. Can you see it? Can you see it spiritually? Are you willing to accept it spiritually? Are you willing to believe it spiritually? For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly. What kind of an entrance? An abundant entrance. You're already a child of God. He wrote this to children of God. He said, now don't be short-sighted, be far-sighted, and think about your future entrance into the kingdom of God, and think about your inheritance and what you're going to receive there. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This temporary kingdom here doesn't mean a blinking thing. Yet people that are nearsighted spend their whole life jockeying for success down here, wanting God's blessings down here, and taking a forgetfulness when it comes to their responsibility to serve God in view of the promises that He's made awaiting them in the kingdom of God. They simply will not seek first the kingdom of God. They'll seek the worldly things first as saved children of God, but they won't seek the future things of God. Now, this word entrance, this word abundantly, is very interesting. That's the kind of entrance a farsighted person wants into the kingdom of God. The word that is used for entrance there is a dozos. It's a zodos. It's the act or power of entering. But look at abundantly. It means richly. That's an adverbial modifier referring to the type of entrance rather than the entrance itself. Someone who has a large inheritance waiting for them in heaven, because like the woman that the Lord indicated would be chosen as His bride in Revelation 19:7, His wife hath made herself ready. Someone like that, who has added into his or her faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You say, Brother McMurray, why do you keep repeating that? I'd like for you to remember them. Someone who has done that, and I'd like for you to know what they mean. Someone who has done that is somebody who's going to have an abundant entrance when the kingdom of God arrives and the judgment seat of Christ is set up and their inheritance is given to them and they have a great reward. That's why Peter kept telling them how important it was to do what he was saying. Verse 10. We're working backwards to get back to these things. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now let's take a look at what that says. Verse 10. Calling. Give diligence to make your calling. Calling, that is the word that is used there, means a summons for those whose inner natures have been made heavenly. They're already saved. Now there's a calling. Do you really think in the Bible where it says many are called but few are chosen, that's talking about salvation? I certainly hope not, because if you do, you might as well believe in Calvinism and predestination. Many are called but few are chosen. If you believe that means to save, then it means God makes the choice, not man. That's talking about children of God. And what it's talking about is the call that God issues to every one of His born-again children after they're saved to service. And many people get called to service, get called to add these things into their faith, and they won't do it, and therefore they are not chosen for a relationship in heaven that involves great honor and an abundant interest. Doesn't mean they don't go to heaven. It means they don't get the inheritance that's waiting. Election. Election simply means selection or choice. The word sure that is used there means firm or steady. These things are, first, virtue, then knowledge, then temperance, then patience, then godliness, then brotherly kindness, and then agape. That's what makes it firm or steady. And the word is used for fall means to stumble. And it's talking about to stumble from these things. It says, brethren, listen. If you follow the calling of God that was issued to you to service after you've been saved, you'll have in your own heart an assuredness and a firmness in the election you've already received. And these things that you are doing will make your faith firm and make you firm in the faith. And you won't stumble because you'll be involved in Christian growth. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Myopia. Cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten, Lethar Lambano, deliberately take a forgetfulness, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 9, these things, see afar off, myopia, to be nearsighted, hath forgotten, Lethar Lambano, to take a forgetfulness. Now we get down to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, these seven things, make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Bob Christie gets there, when Anna Mae Seals gets there, when I get there, when Thelma gets there, and we're all going to heaven, Bob, you're going to be judged for how much virtue you added into your faith. And Alan, you're going to be judged for how much knowledge you added into your faith. And Sister Barnes, you're going to be judged for how much temperance you added into your faith. And Charlie, you're going to be judged for how much patience came out of that. And Norma, you're going to be judged for how much godliness you discovered in life on how to worship God. And Brother Shipley, you're going to be judged for how much brotherly kindness you showed. And Johnny, you're going to be judged for how much love you developed towards your fellow man. And all of you are going to be judged for all seven of these things, and so am I. So you might as well want to be reminded of it. And you shouldn't try to take a forgetfulness. And that's why I thank God you're here. You don't know what it means to a preacher to see a bunch of people come on Sunday night. Because you're here. And you're adding these things into your faith. And you're seeing these things. And you're interested in these things. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. There's lots of other places to go where your flesh could have a lot more fun. And your flesh isn't having any fun in this. He doesn't enjoy it at all. This is something that has to do with your spiritual man. Verse 8. These things. Well, we've seen these things all the way through. Verses 5 through 7. And here they are. These things in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's take them. Verses 5 through 7. And I'm going to quit on this. And then next Sunday, if John isn't here, I'll show you what these things are specifically. Because if you're going to add them in, you need to know what they are. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to go down each one of these things. And we're going to take Scripture and show what virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity mean. And we're going to take the actual God-breathed word, the actual definitions that are given of what those words meant. And Lord willing, next Sunday at BTC, that is, if John isn't here, well, I'll just take up right here and we'll just go ahead and do that. And this is what I'm taking to California when I go out there. You remember that preacher that came here from California?